broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We love the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. That is one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Now, normally we do a recap of the broadcast the day before. We're skipping that today because we've got, again, we're getting so many incredible two-hour special interviews. We just don't have time for the recaps. I apologize. We'll try to get to that later or do it tomorrow as soon as we can. Because the recaps, a lot of listeners believe are important too. People are just busy and they don't have time for 2 hours a day, 6 days a week broadcasts. But they do want to keep up on what's happening in the Patriot community. By the way, it is a freedom loving, fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. Be aware of that as well. Now, I want to just tell you the Senate passed the $1.4 trillion spending package. They had two votes on separate measures. The first bill passed 71-23. The second passed 81-11. The House has already cleared both pieces of legislation. So the bottom line is, you know what? Donald claimed he would never sign a spending bill like this one again, okay? And he said that last year. I swear, it's a year later, and it feels like we're at the exact same spot. Donald said, I will not sign another package like this again. I won't do it. I had to do it this time because of national security, but I won't do it again. Listen, here's President Trump.
But I say to Congress, I will never sign another bill like this again. I'm not going to do it again. Nobody read it. It's only hours old.
Nobody read it. It's only hours old. Okay, that's exactly where we are right now. All right, so the House passed it. The Senate passed it. It's on Donald's desk, and he's got to sign it by tonight, or it's a meltdown. Well, shame on the Donald now. Trump claimed he'd never sign a spending bill like this again. But now Trump will sign $1.4 trillion spending package, aides say averting a shutdown. Now, I say shame on Congress for forcing a shutdown in the first place. That's a whole nother discussion. Senator Mike Lee of Utah, these spending bills are a fiscal dumpster fire, he says. Rand Paul, as you know, has been speaking out against this forever. And I get that, you know, people want to fund the military. But you know what? Our military already is. We spend seven times more annually on our military than all the other nations combined. OK, it's out of control. I get that we need to defend our nation, folks. But here's what I find fascinating. We want to disarm the American people internally. Yeah, we want to disarm the good guys for some reason. And then around the world, we want to arm everybody to the teeth. Doesn't make any sense. Well, that is the lead-in for our discussion today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have two people on the radio with us, along with myself and my co-host, Kurt Crosby. And we're going to be talking to them about critical, critical issues and what's happening in the Republic. The people are getting sick of it. They're not allowing government to just run roughshod over the people. The first gentleman who will be with us is Michael Hirsch. And Michael Hirsch is, you know, quite a, I don't know what you'd say, decorated guy here. He's the Virginia State Chair for Watchmen on the Wall, okay? And that's a ministry of Family Research Council, or FRC. WatchmanPastors.org is the website to learn more about him. Michael, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Glad to be with you.
Now, do me a quick favor. Give us a thumbnail of who you are. Give us a little bit about, you know, your growing up, how you got into this, how you became a pastor, what got you into the Family Research Council. Kind of give us a thumbnail, will you?
Sure. Well, I happen to be a first-generation born American son of a legal immigrant. My father emigrated from Ukraine when it was over under the Russian domination of Tsar Nicholas. Believe it or not, my father was 60 when I was born, my mother 19, so I had a dysfunctional family uprising, upbringing. And nevertheless, after having come to faith in Christ, became a minister of the gospel and have pastored one church for 35 years here in the Fredericksburg, greater Fredericksburg area. And really what happened was the fight came to my door after we had built our church complex, $2 million complex, above and beyond code. We had the church in a by right zone, and then we were denied. A church that had the ability to have a congregation of 500, we were denied what we contended to be our by right use for a school for children with disabilities. We're talking about 12 children. So we sued the city. We sued.
Hold on. Before you go on to the lawsuit, explain to people quickly a by right, will you?
Sure. A by right is where a particular area, a particular zone, a particular piece of real estate is zoned by the local authorities where they say this is what the practice may be in this particular area. And the problem was that you might have five different zones where a church could be zoned, but the use within the zone was different. So in one zone, you could have a church for worship. Another church zone would have worship in school. Another one would have worship in daycare. Another one would have worship in soup kitchen. Another one would have worship and clothing closet. But in few would you have all of the above. Well, in ours, we were by right zoned for a church. And when we submitted our building plan to the city, it included specifically space for education. Our church precedes, by the way, the Johnson Amendment. We were established in 1951. So basically, again, we built the church completely to code. As a matter of fact, over code, we had all of the safety requirements addressed. Then the city said, sprinkle your building, which we were not required to do by law, but we went ahead in public safety and sprinkled the building. So again, we've got a facility, 14,000 square feet.
And you say, when you say sprinkled, you're talking about putting in sprinklers in case there's a fire or something like that, right?
Correct. A fire suppression system. All of the exits were, again, above code in the location, the escape mechanisms, all of the fire alarm mechanisms. Just incredible. State-of-the-art building. Only be told by an egregious zoning officer that, according to his interpretation, we were not zoned for educational use.
So what really happens is the religious persecution begins, huh?
Well, that's what brought it to my door. And again, I mean, dear Lord, you want to touch the heart of God. You're going after children that have, you know, learning challenges. I don't like to use disabilities, but that is the law, Disabilities Act. And so we were glad to be able to have our friends at the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins, give us the opportunity to go nationwide with our story on the Watchman Watch. We also had the Alliance Defending Freedom, Alliance Defense Fund now with Mike Farris, come and help us. In the state of Virginia, we had the largest and most powerful, prestigious law firm, McGuire Woods. So we sued, until finally the folks at City Hall woke up and unanimously, not only did they reverse their decision, but they expanded by right to all five zones, build a church to code, you may have your private religious school, no other permits requested. So it was a great victory for us. And that threw me into the mix, if I would say.
Now, before you get into the mix, though, this is really what it takes, though, ladies and gentlemen. I want to highlight this because this is what it takes to defend our religious liberties. It takes good, honest men and women to stand together shoulder to shoulder and absolutely insist, demand that our God-given rights are respected and that the law respects those rights. I want you to respond to that right quickly, Michael.
Yeah, and Sam, let me say, this was a four-year battle. And also, let me say, this is Fredericksburg, where the Statute of Religious Liberty was written by Thomas Jefferson at the Rising Sun Tavern. We celebrate that January 15 every year. And don't forget that Fredericksburg, Virginia, is also where my friend, Black Baptist pastor Hashmel Turner, having been elected in the minority-majority ward to city council, when it was his turn to open with prayer, was told, you will not pray in Jesus' name. That lawsuit took 10 years until the Supreme Court, of course, said it was acceptable. So you know, we've had these victories, but you're right. You have to stay in the fight. And then you begin to understand the process of activism necessary for the salt and light to, again, get out there from what I call, we need to get out. You know, we have our voice in the pulpit. We have our voice in the prayer closet. We have our voice in the pew. But where we don't have our voice as salt and light is in the public square, in the polling place, and in public service. That has to change.
And we will make sure it changes. Good, honest people everywhere are standing together. Sheriff Richard Mack, are you with us, sir?
Well, Sam, I am, and I'm already enthralled. I don't need to take much time. I really want to hear from Michael and what you have going today.
All right, we got that going on. Now, understand that this battle is about Michael in a way, but it's more than just about Michael. It's about the state of Virginia. Really, it's about our God-given inalienable rights of self-defense, and it's about our religious liberty. Now, believe it or not, the Second Amendment sanctuary movement grows in Virginia, ladies and gentlemen. Now they have, what, 95 sanctuary, I don't know what you call it, venues, if you will, right now. Michael, is that right?
Yeah, 95 municipalities. That's the city, county, or town.
City, county, or town, 95 municipalities declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. We'll talk about that a little bit more in seconds. I'm Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Can you confidently answer the question, was Jesus a socialist? Join us on Saturday morning, December 14th at Liberty Hall to hear the clear and insightful reply from one of today's leading champions for liberty, Lawrence W. Reed, author of Was Jesus a Socialist? Loving Liberty Incorporated is honored to present Dr. Reed for this kickoff event of Liberty Hall Lectures, Saturday, December 14th, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's free and it's timely. No registration is necessary, but seating is limited. Come early. Also, just in time for Christmas, buy 10 or more copies of the 5,000-Year Leap for just $250 each. Just in time for holiday giving. Single copy price is normally $10. Can't join us in person? Tune in to the Loving Liberty Radio Network for live talk radio and informative, insightful podcasts at lovingliberty.net or on your mobile phone app. Was Jesus a Socialist? Find out at the Liberty Hall Lectures, December 14th. Go to lovingliberty.net for details. The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Hirsch riding shotgun on the show today. WatchmanPastors.org, Watchman on the Wall. We're talking about Virginia. We're talking about our God-given inalienable Second Amendment rights. And I'm telling you right now, the sanctuary movement for Second Amendment folks is growing in Virginia. Now 95 Second Amendment sanctuaries. And a sanctuary, let's talk about that. What exactly is that, Michael?
Well, you know, we've had cities, counties, and towns that have had public hearings from their governing board, whether that be the Board of Supervisors, the City Council, Town Council, et cetera. And many of them have brought forth resolutions declaring that they are a Second Amendment sanctuary or a constitutional county, and that they will not stand for a unconstitutional gun grab. The other side that's been very encouraging also, and it's so great to have a guy that I consider one of my heroes, Sheriff Mack, on there, and that is that the sheriffs, you know, being the closest elected constitutional officer to we the people, these sheriffs, particularly Sheriff Jenkins in Culpeper County, have said, you will never have to go home and worry about us sending one of our deputies to confiscate your guns. And this has, of course, you know, amped up the rhetoric on the other side. So it's been amazing. I will tell you, I had participated in Fredericksburg. I was the chairman of the Republican committee there for a number of years, and also for 5 years in Spotsylvania with the Fredericksburg, Virginia Patriots. Our Patriots were out with a booth in Spotsylvania where 1,200-plus people showed up. In Stafford County, 2,000-plus people. Here I am in little old Bowling Green, if you will, and we had 700 people that showed up. And, of course, I went and made a public statement regarding our God-given and constitutionally protected rights. And, dear Lord, of all the rights in the Bill of Rights, and this isn't just about gun rights. This is about Bill of Rights. This is not just about a battle in Virginia. This is a battle for America. But the fact is that these rights, this is the only one that the word shall not be infringed are used. And, of course, we know that the Supreme Court has ruled in Heller and ruled in Chicago, and our rights should be secured. But it doesn't mean that they're not going to challenge it. And then all of the problems that you have as you fight it through the court. So we can see what their, you know, progressive agenda is, and we need to stand.
We know we have an epic battle on our hands, Michael. Sheriff Richard Mack, I want you to respond to the bold stance of Sheriff Scott Jenkins in Virginia. He's leading the way, isn't he, sir?
Well, he is. He's a good man, and I have right here in my office a hat that he gave me when I was there about 3 or 4 years ago, where he invited us to do our CSPOA constitutional sheriff training for everybody in his entire office. And so I'm not surprised by this, because Sheriff Jenkins showed a lot of courage in doing that, first of all. And he's an amazing man and an amazing sheriff, and he's a trendsetter and a real leader in this movement, not just to protect the Second Amendment, but all of the Bill of Rights. Because as Michael was alluding to earlier, and you were talking with him about religious freedom, there's not one thing that I've heard complained about on your show, Sam, of government being out of control and out of touch with the truth, whether it be the Heller decision and not enforcing it, or the McDonald decision, as he mentioned, out of Chicago. Or simply following what the Founding Fathers said about the Second Amendment and that it shall not be infringed, you would think that a lot of Republicans and almost all Democrats believe it says just the opposite. And so if you want to stop the abuses of the IRS, if you want to stop the abuses of freedom of religion, if you want to stop gun control measures, then have your sheriff, and think of this. What if we had 800 Sheriff Jenkins-type sheriffs all across America? That's about one-fourth of all the sheriffs, or a third of all the sheriffs. Really close, but right between a third and a fourth. Anyway, so what if we had those types of sheriffs standing for every one of these issues? Unitedly, we could absolutely change America tomorrow, get our freedoms back tomorrow, and not have to worry anymore about the tyrants in Washington, D.C., and the swamp would be drained, and we could really help President Trump with that.
Amen. Now, let me clarify a little bit of our understanding, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to say some things here, and I want the good sheriff and Michael to agree, disagree, clarify, whatever they choose to do. Let me explain the battle over the county sheriff. And I'm not telling you I know everything about this. I've never been in law enforcement. I'm just Joe Blow Redneck out here, radio talk show host. But I think I might have a constitutional clue here. Because remember, the Constitution was written for the farmer, for the average common man, for guys just like me, just to be clear. And I highlight this because I really want to dispel the arguments going on here. So we say that the sheriff is America's last hope. And you know what? It's one of them. I believe morality in the people, Black Robe Regiment, some of those things are critical in some of our last hopes as well. But at the government level, the county sheriff is one of our last hopes. And because, as Michael wisely pointed out, the sheriff is the closest elected people in the, quote, the executive branch, if you will, that can carry out the defense of our God-given rights. And this is important to understand. So we say the sheriff has tremendous, tremendous power and authority. And most sheriffs in the country are not really familiar with the history of a sheriff, and they're not familiar with how much power they really have, and they're afraid to use it because they don't understand the power they have. And so the battle is, we claim they have tremendous authority, but what the mainstream press likes to do, along with government officials that do not agree with us, they like to say, oh, Sheriff Mack believes the sheriff is like a god or like a king, and he can do whatever the heck he wants. By golly, be darned, forget the state, forget the county, forget any other public officials, forget the federal government. The sheriff can just do whatever the heck he wants. And they try to spin what we say into that extreme view, which is a lie, an absolute lie from the pit of hell. And the truth is, we believe the sheriff has tremendous power. Yes, there are checks and balances, no doubt about it. But there are also jurisdictional boundaries. The federal government can't just rove into the states and do whatever they want to anytime, especially with unconstitutional alphabet agencies. Okay? So we say the sheriff has tremendous power to roll back the feds, to create jurisdictional boundaries, and to create the checks and balances we speak of. We don't think that the sheriff has dictatorial power, by any stretch of the imagination. But we do realize the sheriff has tremendous power. And the mainstream and the extreme liberals and those who want to deny us, we the people, our God-given rights, they don't want the sheriffs to understand the power they have. So they paint out this extreme argument in an effort to debunk our point. But history is on our side. You want to respond to that first, Michael?
Sure, Sam. You know, not only do they know the power of the closest constitutional officer to the people, but they are already stacking the deck against them. House Bill 67, entered by Lee Carter, strikes by certain government employees, limits the law enforcement officers. I just want to give you the summary. This is taken from Virginia's legislative information system. House Bill 67, strikes by government employees, limits to law enforcement officers the scope of the existing provision that deems any public employee who strikes, meaning they're not going to enforce an unconstitutional law, any employee who strikes to have terminated his employment and bars him from further public employment. Now, why do you think they've got that bill running through the General Assembly while they've got Senate Bill 16 and Senate Bill 64, the one that is about the guns, then the other one that stretches so far to the imagination of what is intent? This is so egregious. It is outrageous. I would say, in my experience, it's unheard of.
It's a dictatorial attempt to deny us the checks and balances and freedom of will.
It's taking away, it's striking at we the people.
Because you'll no longer have the dictates of your own conscience, will you?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. You know, here in Virginia, you would think, again, as we say, that we pushed for the Bill of Rights. And again, I want to say that clearly, this is not just about gun rights being taken. It is about the entire integrity of the Bill of Rights. You know, we have a saying, the second defends the first. And now what you're seeing across Virginia is literally, I mean, this is not exaggerative, literally in the last month, there have been hundreds of thousands of Virginians out in their public governing bodies saying stop this.
For good reason, and that's what the checks and balances designed by our founders are all about, ladies and gentlemen. They said you have a republic if you can keep it. Michael Hirsch with us. WatchmanPastors.org. The good sheriff, Richard Mack with us. More in seconds. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The last Democratic debate of the year held last night in Los Angeles. Seven candidates calling for President Trump, now that he's been impeached, to be removed from office. In the debate, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders called Trump a pathological liar. Senator Elizabeth Warren saying corruption is definitely on the table in the 2020 election. And former VP Joe Biden says integrity must be restored in the White House. Senator Amy Klobuchar says of the race,
this primary comes down to some simple questions. Who has the best ideas, the best experience? Mostly, who can beat Donald Trump, and how will she do it?
NASA says there are technical problems with the Starliner space capsule, which launched from Cape Canaveral this morning. It says that it may not be able now to dock as scheduled with the International Space Station. This is USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
He's been impeached, and now President Trump is eager for a Senate trial to begin. Here's USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
President Trump on Twitter says he wants an immediate trial in the Senate, saying Democrats have zero proof of anything. Now, the House passing two articles of impeachment, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi holding up sending them to the Senate. Pelosi says she needs to know the structure of the Senate trial first.
I don't feel like I'm being impeached because it's a hoax. It's a setup. They happen to have a small majority, and they took that small majority and they forced people.
Senate Majority Leader Republican Mitch McConnell says he and Democrat Chuck Schumer have yet to agree on trial rules.
Meanwhile, an evangelical magazine founded by the late preacher Billy Graham says Trump should be removed from office. The editor-in-chief of Christianity Today says in an editorial that Trump's alleged coercion of a foreign leader was profoundly immoral. This is USA Radio News.
All right, just really quick, a point of order before we get back to scheduled programming, ladies and gentlemen. This fiasco about impeachment is a sham. I'm telling you right now. And look, the Senate, let's be very clear. The Constitution doesn't call for the House to control what goes to the Senate or the House to put, quote, managers of impeachment or anything else in place. Just so you know, that managers of impeachment being put in place by the House that Nancy claims she has to get done, that's a rule of the Senate. It's nothing more than a goofy rule that the Senate put in place by who knows what shenanigans in the past. I'd have to go research it. But I'm telling you, it's a rule in the Senate. And the Senate makes up their own rules. They can change it in about 5 seconds and say, Nancy, we're not waiting on you. You're goofy. You're not going to prevent the president from having a speedy trial. You're not going to literally control the Senate here. That's not happening, sister. And they could flat out debunk this notion in about 2 seconds by dispensing of this bogus rule that's not even constitutional. So there you have it. But let's just see how this all plays out on who's who. I personally think that we need an open trial so that we can see what's going on and we can hold folks in the FBI that withheld exculpatory evidence and everything else in Trump's cases. And let's see who's really abusing power. And you'll find that the Democrats are abusing power. They're a private party. Okay, Democrat. Republican parties, they're not even part of your government. So they're shanghaiing this whole process, if shanghaiing is a word. anyway, you know what I'm saying, right? And all I'm telling you is this is a big deal. And if we want to uphold the supreme law of our land, we better start with codifying the Bill of Rights. We better start by Americans understanding the supreme law of our land and insisting on the checks and balances that made America great. And if amoral people insist on the checks and balances, there's no stopping the greatest country on the face of the earth. On the other hand, if we're an immoral people and we don't insist on the checks and balances, we is in trouble. Pardon the French. We're in trouble, right? All right, so that's critical, and I wanted to sidebar on that just because the mainstream press is talking about it, and I want to set the record straight for you folks. That's just goofy rules of the Senate that can be changed on a dime and don't even relate to your supreme law. All right, Virginia State Chair for Watchmen on the Wall, a ministry for Family Research Council, WatchmenPastors.org, Michael Hirsch is with us. So this big battle's happening in Virginia. The sheriff is starting to stand up. Are other sheriffs agreeing with Scott on this one?
You know, the sheriffs that I have met and spoken with are definitely standing arm in arm. Sheriff Harris in Spotsylvania. I had the opportunity to speak with Sheriff Lippa here in Bowling Green. I won't go into our private discussions, but, you know, we do need to have an organization in Virginia that will reach up to the Sheriff's Association and inform them of here are your constitutional powers to protect the people that elected you to office.
And let's be clear, not only constitutional powers, but in my opinion, if you swear an oath and you become an elected official, with those powers become a duty, sir.
Absolutely. And there's no expiration on that oath.
Sheriff, do you want to respond to this? We need to really help out Virginia with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association right now. They need serious support.
Yeah, and Michael probably knows that we've been doing some work, but we just aren't big enough and we just aren't funded enough to really provide the support for all the sheriffs across the country that we would really like to. We'd certainly like to form more organizations in every state and, quite frankly, in every county, because this is exactly what the CSPOA does. We don't only train, but we get out and support the sheriffs once they do take a constitutional stand. And so we really, I guess Michael makes a point that's very valid. We need the CSPOA to be bigger, faster, and better, and stronger, and funded and all of that to where we can get out and get these things done in a Minuteman type fashion.
All right, Michael, what do you think is the next step in this sanctuary battle? You know, sanctuary Second Amendment municipalities, jurisdictions, whatever we want to call them, those are really the opposite of a gun-free zone, right?
I don't know that I would equate it that way. In other words, you know, what we have asked in these appeals to these governing bodies is, you know, mentioning again a concern about the passage of a bill containing language that's interpreted as infringing the rights of the citizens to keep and bear arms, or language that would enable restrictions of our Second Amendment rights.
But isn't that exactly what a gun-free zone is? Is where they simply create laws that conflict with the Constitution that deny us our God-given rights to self-defense, codified in the right to keep and bear arms?
Yes, if you're defining it that way, yes. Because again, I want to be careful with the terms that we use to describe this. So yes, any law that is in violation of the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the Commonwealth, any law that would restrict or infringe our right to lawfully keep and bear arms. And again, that's why we reference the two decisions in the Supreme Court that have addressed this directly. So we know that this is a power grab, an unconstitutional threat to Virginia. Let me just say this. On January 20th will be lobby day at the General Assembly. That is one way that people can participate. And then furthermore, you know, these people need to be active as activists locally participating.
No doubt about it. Let me tell you why I put it in the language that I do, Michael, so you understand. Donald Trump on the campaign trail said he'd get rid of gun-free zones in schools and military bases and other places first day of his administration. Now, he hasn't been able to do that. Our prayers are that he can get that done, but that would go a long way into supporting what you folks are doing And it would literally create the checks and balances that are necessary here.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We agree with that.
And I agree with your hesitation, because what you're saying is, hey, words mean things, and especially in courts and in legislative bodies and stuff. Hey, you use the wrong words, and before you know it, the discussion's off the rails. You're wise to be careful. Sheriff Mack, am I misstating this? I'm just simply saying a gun-free zone or violations of our God-given Second Amendment rights codified in the Bill of Rights or gun-free zone. You know, I don't know about the attorney language. I'm just telling you that, hey, the only rights that I want related to this is I want constitutional carry everywhere. I want Americans to have a God-given right to keep and bear arms and have the right of self-defense, and I want government to defend that God-given right everywhere, all the time, period. And I don't know what language to use to codify that clear enough. Sheriff?
Well, you're absolutely correct, Sam. And I actually thought your analogy was spot on. It's the opposite of gun-free zones. We actually enforce, adhere to, and honor the Second Amendment as it was written, and we really don't need to go anywhere else. And it always worries me when one of these cases goes to the Supreme Court or any other court, because you're just looking at a political judge who's going to give his political views instead of sustaining and enforcing the Constitution of the United States in its original form as promulgated by the founding fathers.
Well, and they want to say, we say sheriffs have too much power. They want to give judges too much power. Many of these activist judges need to be impeached for their violations of the law and their misinterpretations of, et cetera. Right. They're intentionally trying to create laws from the benches and or negate laws that are legitimately passed. I mean, I can go on and on. But they give too much power to the judges. And I say the checks and balances are really the key here, Michael, and the people really end up having the last say as the last check, and that's what you're talking about right now, right?
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny, Sam, that we circle back around to activist judges. I think you'll get a kick out of this. So when our first federal lawsuit went down to the circuit court there in Richmond, it was before a Obama appointee, I don't mind mentioning his name, it's a public record anyway, Judge Gibney. Listen, this was Judge Gibney's very first case. He didn't even know how to file the paperwork. Thank God for the clerk who had things under control. And the first lawsuit was dismissed without standing, which is incredible. I have children, members of my congregation, who have been qualified with individual education plans, needing special education, and they weren't going to let the children of my congregation in my church building have a special school for 12 kids. Outrageous. Of course, we won in the court of public opinion when we went down to the city hall. We went to the General Assembly when we got on the radio, the television, and, of course, they unanimously reversed themselves and expanded by right. But it is interesting, because I think today the greatest mark among all the other outstanding achievements of the Trump administration is the appointment of the Supreme Court and the Circuit Court and the appeal judges across America. That is a hedge of protection for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, the courts were intended to be the weakest branch of government and the furthest from the people. We need to get involved. Michael Hirsch, our guest. The good Sheriff Richard Mack, our guest. WatchmanPastors.org. Ladies and gentlemen, the battles are epic. Our responsibilities are serious. The opportunities are plentiful. And most importantly, our cause is sacred. Hang on, folks.
I advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt, and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
you start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
All right, Kirk Cosby, you want to chime in on this discussion? I'm proud of the Virginians. They're leading the charge to defend our God-given inalienable rights, Kirk.
Well, Virginia's, a danger zone, being as close to Washington, D.C. as it is. It is refreshing to see the good folks, especially in the, I guess you could say, outlier areas that, still have their heads screwed on properly, huh, Sam?
Yes, you're right. It's a critical battle to which we're engaged. And as I mentioned, the opportunities for Americans to stand up and get involved are plentiful. And our cause is sacred and our cause is just. Bill wants to join us. Hi, Bill. Bill's from Virginia.
How's it going? Hey, Michael. Hey, Bill. I thought I'd call in and offer my 2 cents here in Northern Virginia. We have a lot of people that are pro-Second Amendment that believe in their Second Amendment rights.
Hey, really quick, Richard Mack, mute yourself. I think the feedback's coming from you. Can you mute yourself real quick? See if we can do that. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. How is it now?
Perfect, sir.
The Second Amendment was written to be understood. It wasn't written to be obscure or to mean that it only applies when you need a militia or something like that. The Second Amendment, the first part of the amendment, is just saying that you can't infringe the right of all the people to bear arms, because in order to field a militia, everyone has to be armed. And you've probably already talked about that, but
yeah, you're bringing up a critical point, because like I mentioned, the checks and balances are key here. We need to understand jurisdictional boundaries, and we need to understand checks and balances jurisdictionally between the federal government and the states, jurisdiction between the executive, the judicial, and the legislative branches. There's checks and balances, vertical and horizontal, that we need to really understand, Michael.
Let me just touch on that real quick, because one of the greatest lights of the American Revolution was, get this, from the church house, Boston's Christ Church, two lanterns, as Paul Revere is going to protect the gun rights of the colonists against the tyranny of Britain. And this is what we're facing in Virginia. And our call is the Virginia Watchman Council, the outreach arm of the Watchman on the Wall Pastors Network in Virginia, is that, again, it is time that, yes, we continue in the pew, we continue in the pulpit, we continue in the prayer closet, but we must get into the public square, into the precincts, the polling place, and into public service. So we are calling on people, and again, a strong show for not just our Second Amendment rights, but the entire Bill of Rights for the Constitution on January 20th, Lobby Day at the General Assembly. And as I said earlier, Sam, listen, we have to have local participation. It is a shame that so many red-blooded, natural-born, and naturalized Americans are not participating in electing and promoting good, godly men and women to places of governance to expand the kingdom of God. It is a disgrace.
You're right about that. I want to bring this up to Bill really quick, Michael, and point out that I believe that the difference in our founding era and today was in our founding era, you know what, they had pastors that were willing to stand up boldly, nobly, and independently for the sacred cause, and they taught the principles of morality from the pulpit. They were aflame with righteousness. We don't have that today, Bill. All right, we must have lost Bill. Do you want to respond to that, Richard Mack?
Well, he's got to take us.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and pick up on that. So, Reverend William Cook is the founder of the Virginia Black Robe Regiment. I remember when we launched that with him there at Patrick Henry College. A number of pastors getting together, other spiritual leaders in the community. And Bill also serves as the vice chairman and the Northern Virginia chairman of the Virginia Watchman Council. Again, the outreach arm to pastors who are Watchmen on the Wall pastors with the Family Research Council. And this is what we're doing. We're explaining to them, and I actually use an acronym called PEACE. You know, the Bible says that if you pray for those who are in authority, you will have peace. And we take the acronym PEACE and we tell them the first thing you need to do is to pray for those in authority. Well, wait a minute. They weren't born into authority. They were promoted. They were elected. They are our representatives. Shouldn't we be praying with them before they run? Shouldn't we be counseling them? Shouldn't we be teaching them? So the second letter is E for education. You know, the Bible says that God told Moses, God told in the New Testament, the apostles told them, choose out from among you men who we will appoint over this business, either by appointment or by election. And it's amazing because God said to Moses, you will teach them the ordinances and laws. You will show them the way they must walk. You will show them the work they must do. You will provide out from among the people. Now, wait a minute. That means the people are there. They're sitting in our congregations. I like what Bill Federer said at our last pastor's conference. Pastors, you have the opportunity to speak to the sovereign every Sunday morning. They're sitting in your pews. We the people are the sovereigns in America. We the people. And by the way, let me just say this. I don't know, unless you find one of those deep blue areas of the state where any jury would convict a law-abiding citizen for some of these laws that we're seeing, Senate Bill 16, Senate Bill 64, House Bill 67. So don't forget jury nullification. We the people have the ultimate power in America.
And that's exactly the checks and balances that I speak of, that we the people need to understand. Our founder said you have a republic if you can keep it. De Tocqueville said, hey, you know what? This America's great because America is good, meaning moral. And if America ceases to be good or moral, America will cease to be great. We need to understand these fundamental principles, and then we need to double down and take action. We need preachers who are a part of the Black Regiment that'll stand up like they did in the days of old. We need Americans who are willing to give and sacrifice their honor, their fortunes. We need that today. We don't need the biggest contingent. God even whittles down his armies, biblically speaking. You know what? But we've got to be faithful. And if we do, he promises us that he will heal our land. We will receive his protection. But what we got to do is we got to repent. We got to turn to him. We got to acknowledge him. And we've got to do what he asks us to do, which means keep the commandments, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's the interesting part of this. You know, the A part of this acronym, PEACE, peace, is to advocate. So 1 Peter 2:13 is an incredibly interesting scripture. Submit yourself. Now, that's the highest level of government, self-governance under God. Submit yourself, watch this, Sam, to every ordinance of man. Well, you know, when I had an egregious zoning officer tell me, little pencil pusher, you're not going to have a school for 12 disabled kids in your church that seats 500. I considered civil disobedience until I understood in the crucible of that furnace of affliction this verse better, because I said, wait a minute, for the Lord's sake. That's what Peter says, for the Lord's sake. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And let me just say this. You'll never see a man leaving a woman's restroom in my church unless he's the janitor.
And see, this is where we need to make a stand. What we need to understand is just because we want to obey the laws of the land, that doesn't mean we betray our faith in the process. That's one, in my opinion, key element people don't understand. Romans 13 is probably one of the most misunderstood sections we can get, which means, hey, give everything up, deny your God for your government. That's a lie.
Well, let me circle back around to what Peter said, and he says, for the Lord's sake. So the qualifiers, how do we ensure that godly leaders are enacting and signing into ordinances laws that are for the Lord's sake? Think of how much better position we would be in as American people if we have had from the pulpits and in the Sunday school classes and in education, if we have educated, trained, raised up, prayed for, supported those who in the legislative houses as well as the executive branch, they're making the ordinances. These ordinances, Senate Bill 16, Senate Bill 64, grab your guns. My God, if you read it, it's so egregious. Even trying to define what your intent would be to say that Reverend Hirsch out there with his grandson teaching him gun safety may have an intent. Good God, that's unbelievable. And then again, to say that any safety officer duly authorized who says, hey, it is a matter of my conscience that this is against the constitutional right of my fellow citizens, they will no longer, they'll be fired on the spot, no longer have public service. It's because of those people's worldview of their, I would say almost seditious, but their social, totalitarian, tyrannical thinking that even gives them the gall to bring this kind of thing to the floor. It is incredible. So we are calling on pastors to preach a worldview sermon. We are calling on pastors to pray for those who are in authority. I tell you something, brother, when you pray for someone in authority and God touches your heart with compassion for the work that that public servant is doing, you see them differently. They are our representatives. We are their leaders. They are not our leaders. They are our representatives elected to represent we the people.
And we know that we're all imperfect people, but God can use even imperfect people, even people sometimes that are immoral, to further his great sacred causes. Michael, I want you to stay with us next second hour, if you can, because we're talking about patriots sticking to their guns and their God. And you know what? Virginia Governor Ralph Northam and many of the other leaders, they seem to have forgotten a couple of important things that led to the American Revolution, folks. This is critical to understand. And I think they're forgetting this all over the country. What caused the American Revolution? Now, a lot of people believe it just materialized in a couple of years. No. It took a long time in the making. And the patriots were very, 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 very patient. And they withstood a lot of abuses. In the Declaration of Independence, they document before a candid world the train of abuses they experienced. And they highlighted how abusive it was and how long they've endured and et cetera, et cetera. But the point being that there was a time when the patriots had to draw the line. They had to say, okay, wait a minute. Enough is enough. We're not going to let you cross that line. Because if we do, all will be lost. If we let you cross the line and take away our God-given inalienable right of self-defense, then you know what? There will be nothing to stop you from tyranny, from having your way with us. We're not going to let that happen to our wives, to our children. We're not going to let that happen to our liberties. And that's really where the battle lines were drawn. Can you stay with us to discuss that more next hour, Michael?
Absolutely. Be glad to. I can take it up till 11, then I have a conference call.
Understood. You got it, sir. So we're going to do that. Kurt, do you want to put the final on this first hour, and then we'll move into the second hour?
You know, it's, anyway, when you look at the pulpits and the sheriff's offices, two of the most important, in my opinion, God-filled zones in America, and it's good to see them expanding out and making a difference. And I would say, God bless America. Let's make America and the world great again.
To do that, we got to make America and the world moral. If we want the blessings of the author of our liberty, it's that simple of a discussion, but it takes a lot of work. But you know what? The mainstream press doesn't let you know all the good people doing all the good things. I mean, how many people are letting you know around the country about Michael and his tremendous work, and WatchmanPastors.org and their tremendous work? How many people are letting you know about the CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and their fantastic work? All right, how many people are letting you know about the Sanctuary Second Amendment movement? 95 sanctuaries and more to come in Virginia alone. All right, how many people are letting you know about the good sheriff in Virginia, Scott Jenkins, who will deputize residents if gun control laws are enacted? Ladies and gentlemen, God save the Republic of the United States of America.